Well, amen. It's great to have you here this evening again. And as I said, we are with Jesus before Pilate this evening. And our reading is in John chapter 18, verses 28 through 40. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but would eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, would not we have delivered him over to you?" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word of Jesus had been spoken to by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say this about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I may not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom so that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "No, not this man, but Barabbas." And Barabbas was a robber. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this evening. Well, as I said, we're doing the Stations of the Cross. This is an ancient tradition of Christian reflection, began early in the Christian faith, whereby there's a tradition of 14 Stations of the Cross in much of the Catholic faith, and then the Protestants have 8 stations that are in the Bible, and then sometimes there's this new one that Pope John Paul put together that's 14 stations that are all in the Bible. Regardless, we only have time for 8 as we journey to the cross, but I think pausing at these stations gives us a time to reflect for a moment and to pause the action and just let it seep into our hearts and minds. And so our journey has taken us from the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus went to pray for his disciples and for himself, and where he asked his inner circle of disciples, Peter, James, and John, to pray with him. Jesus went about a stone's throw away and prayed so earnestly that we're told that sweat-like drops of blood appeared all over him. He was that stressed and that torn. But even so, he asked that the cup might pass for him, but he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Jesus went back to check on the disciples. They were asleep. Of course, they had been through a lot too, and we understand the temptation to sleep when we should be praying. And Jesus challenged them to pray for themselves and not fall into temptation. And Jesus again went away and prayed in earnest again, "Not my will, but thine be done." And then went back. Disciples were sleeping again. Jesus prayed again, went back. And at that moment, the Roman soldiers came, led by Judas, of all people, one of the disciples who had betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And he betrayed Jesus with a kiss. Peter was about to take his sword and to fight all of them. He ended up just cutting off the ear of one of the soldiers. But Jesus put him on hold and said, "Wait." He was willingly going to submit himself. And so he healed the soldier's ear. And then from there, they took Jesus and all the other disciples fled, and all the followers, except for Peter, who traveled at a distance. And we talked last week about how that distance turned into denial. Peter ended up warming himself around the fire and hanging out with the wrong crowd. And then Peter eventually went from lying to denying Christ. And we thought about our own selves, sometimes how we hang out with the wrong crowd, how sometimes we have distance grown our spiritual lives, and sometimes how that lying little by little, step by step, turns to denying. And so this evening, we look at Jesus before Pilate. And I hope this set helps you to put the pause button on and think about that as we think about the campfire where Peter warmed himself and ended up denying Christ. We think about Jesus praying in the garden. Of course, we think about Pilate as a Roman leader, a soldier, and also a ruler of the region. And so I want you to think about that this evening. Now, it's interesting, as we think about the Stations of the Cross, my brother once came to me and he said, you know, I'm thinking about designing my own Monopoly game. Well, I said, what's it like? You know, because they have these themes, right? Different kinds of Monopoly themes. And so he said, well, I thought maybe we'd do one based on the church, right? And I said, well, how does that work? He said, well, you know, you start out in these small rural churches, and then you get bigger churches, and then you finally get a mega church, you have mega church row, and then maybe you got a TV station and some more TV stations, and then you have this, you know, kind of a line of clothes or something, T-shirts that you can sell and special crosses. And, you know, he says you can, you know, buy and sell all these cards and all these things that can happen, church scandals that you pull out or whatever. And he said, so get this. He said, what do you think we should name it? And I said, I don't know. What do you think? He said, how about My Kingdom Come? Sadly, truer than we'd like to admit sometimes, right? Not us here, right? But because we don't have all those kinds of things. But here's the interesting thing, because I think the church does, and sometimes we do, get caught up in My Kingdom Come. Now, at the heart of this evening, Jesus says, My Kingdom is not of this world, and I think we need to think about that, though the King is at work in the world. And so I invite you on this journey. And so we find Jesus before Pilate this evening, and it's interesting because Pilate first has tried to pass the buck. You like that? Now, this picks up after that, but Pilate, first interviewing Jesus, when they first came, just basically said, what's this about? And he said, oh, no, you need to go to Herod. Nice political move. Ever seen politicians kick the can down the road or pass the hot potato? Pilate was good at it, but not as good as Herod, because he sent him over to Herod because he said, you know, this is a Galilean, that's in your district. And Herod, of course, is famous for just being as corrupt as possible. And Herod wisely interviews him, who was kind of both sort of a quisling, a traitor for the Jews, but part Jewish. And so he was playing both sides of the field. And he interviews Jesus a little bit and finds out that really the only way that Jesus can be tried and crucified is under Roman law. And so he deftly sort of sends Jesus back over to Pilate and says, I'm just the Galilean Jewish kind of person. You're the Roman ruler. It's in your court. And so Pilate realizes that there's nothing he can do to get around that. But I wonder, in our own lives, sometimes don't we sort of pass the buck when it comes to responsibility in our own lives? And so this is a weighty moment in front of Pilate. And so Pilate realizes what he has to do, and so he begins to talk to Jesus. And you wonder, in that moment, as Pilate, this powerful person, also a political player, what was going through his mind? And so he begins to talk to Jesus and asks him about the accusations, which basically the only accusations they could really get Jesus on to sort of manipulate that is that Jesus was supposedly an insurrectionist, right? And so they had sort of manipulated what he had said. And Jesus, first of all, was brought before Pilate. And the people that brought him before him, when Pilate says, what has this guy done? And they say, would we have brought him here if he wasn't guilty? So basically, they're trying to spin the course right from the start that he's guilty. And they don't really go into depth, but they bring this accusation that Jesus is sort of this insurrectionist. He wants to overthrow the Roman Empire. And Jesus says clearly, he says, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. And then he goes on to say a little bit more, and then he comes back to, my kingdom is not of this world. And I think for our own lives, as I said this past Sunday, that Jesus does challenge us to basically pull heaven and earth together many times, right? To bring a little bit of heaven to the earth around us. But Jesus doesn't tell us to set up a kingdom here, right? Jesus says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But it's about God's will, where the meek are working, where we're working for peace and those kinds of things. But then Jesus comes back to this interesting moment where he says, I need to be about my Father's work and about truth. And Jesus says this, which I like. He says, for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And Pilate, who's this great political person and well-educated, says this great question that has echoed through history: what is truth? What is truth? Meaning not that he really wants to know what's the real truth and, you know, what are the weighty philosophical things, but he knows that justice is sort of bending in the direction of what the political will is rather than what innocence is or guilt is, and so he says, what is truth? And Jesus, for some moment, just remained silent, because I don't think Jesus wanted to get into a philosophical debate, because that's all it was. Ever known anybody like that? It wasn't really about the truth. It was about, you know, arguing your point of view, right? Your philosophy, your politics, whatever's going on, right? And so Jesus just pauses and lets Pilate think about that. But I wonder, in our own hearts and lives this evening, what is truth for us? You see, because here's the interesting thing. Before Pilate himself wasn't the debate about the truth, but the eternal truth himself. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus was the way and the truth and life all in one. The way was the way to the cross and also the way to heaven. The truth was the truth that Jesus was bringing, that we need to trust God, and only through God's eternal purposes that would bring reconciliation through Christ would we know Christ and God's forgiveness, and the way. The way, the truth, and the life that comes only through God. And so this evening I ask each of us to think about what is our relationship with Christ, the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, even as Pilate did and was puzzled in that moment. Well, Pilate once again sees a way out. So he knows that those who've come to accuse Jesus, which was in the middle of the night because they could get away with more at night than they could in the light of day, often the case even today. So Pilate says, listen, how about this? It is your custom to release someone the night of the Passover. How about if I release this man, Jesus, who you call as the Messiah? And they said, no, let Barabbas go free. Now, Barabbas was a known robber. Some suspected him to be an insurrectionist, known to be a person who was guilty. And the people say, no, let Barabbas go free. And so Pilate is stuck with Jesus as the one who needed to be crucified according to the people that brought him before Jesus. Now, here's an interesting thing to think about in that moment. We know that Barabbas was guilty and was being set free. Jesus was innocent, and Jesus was going to the cross. And maybe that moment is recorded so specifically and so poignantly by John in this moment to help us realize that it's really a picture of us too, because we too are guilty just like Barabbas, maybe of different things, not the same thing, but we're guilty and we're going free. And we're going free because Jesus is going to the cross in that moment, even as Jesus did almost 2,000 years ago. And so you think about that for a moment, because it's easy to sort of dismiss Barabbas as that guy, the bad guy, or Pilate as the guy who's just this political fox, and we just are bystanders. But the truth maybe is that we're in both the shoes of both of them, right? I mean, maybe we are like Pilate, and for a moment we need to think about our own lives and what was going on. And when Pilate was dismissing Jesus finally in that moment, when he was letting Barabbas go free, Pilate asked that a bowl of water be brought out. And Pilate, before all the people, in a symbol that was used in Roman society, washed his hands in the basin and said, I wash my hands of this person's blood. And that's amazing, isn't it? Because you think about that for a moment, and even though we sort of scorn Pilate, I mean, how many times have you and I sort of washed our hands of responsibility? Or we haven't stood up for justice, or we haven't stood up to be responsible in the way that we need to be, to stand up for what is right and to not just sort of go with the will of the crowd down the wrong pathway. So maybe you and I are every bit like Pilate in a different way, that we try to wash our hands of the responsibility, we try to blame it on someone else, we don't stand up for justice. But in another very real sense, we're also like Barabbas in that moment, because Jesus is willing to go to the cross, even though he's innocent, And you and I, like Barabbas, are guilty, and we are being set free. Because here's the beautiful thing about all this is that Jesus paid the price for Barabbas, and Jesus paid the price for each and every one of us. Now, here's something else that's interesting that I think, which is that, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I wondered, whatever happened to Pilate later in life? You know, because he was a main player, but he didn't want to be. He wanted to sidestep this whole thing. In fact, his wife sent him a warning to not judge Jesus because she had a dream. And like so many men, he should have listened to his wife, right? All women said, amen. But you wonder, when Jesus rose from the dead and Pilate heard about that, what he thought. Or did Jesus go and find Pilate? That would be interesting, wouldn't it? Now, here's something that's interesting. In the Eastern Church, Pilate is actually a saint of the church because legend is that Pilate became a follower of Christ. Now, we don't know a lot about history, but we know that he's a saint in the church, in the Eastern Church. And that's interesting, I think, because maybe Pilate realized in that moment when Jesus was in front of him and later on that Jesus was setting Barabbas free, but Jesus was also setting Pilate free from the guilt that he so wished. Because you and I know that blood does stain deeper than water can wash. The blood of guilt, the blood of wrong actions, and the power that brings on our soul and the guilt that weighs on us. And I believe that Pilate later on saw Jesus either in a vision or in a powerful remembering moment, and that Jesus forgave Pilate for what he did. So this evening, when you think about this moment when Jesus is before Pilate, think about your own life and how we are with responsibility. Try to, with God's help, to stand up for what is right, to not pass the buck, to stand up for justice, to take responsibility, but also realize that when we fail and fall short, that Jesus is always there to forgive us in the moment and later on as sin weighs on each of us. Jesus paid the price. Pilate tried to wash his hands, but the water would not work ultimately. Only Jesus going to the cross and giving his life and shedding the blood would pay the price that would wash all of us whiter than snow. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, as we think about this evening, and we think about this moment when Jesus, our Lord, stands before Pilate, we think of this great moment of love for us, willing to sacrifice himself and take responsibility for something that he didn't do, but make a pathway to the cross and a pathway to forgiveness and grace and love. So, Lord, thank you for your willingness to take the path to the cross. Help us to open our hearts and lives today to your amazing grace. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.